Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Thursday. I am so excited. You know, yesterday was for the Gen Zers. Today, I feel like my guest needs no introduction. I feel like we literally have the same exact audience. Like, millennial queens, you guys, it's fucking Tinks.
I'm so excited to be here. And can I just say, I've obviously been listening to The Toast every day because I do every day normally. And I've been listening to all the other co-hosts and they're fabulous. They're fantastic. Yeah. They're way more famous than me. But I need to say something. I'm for the toasters because I started as a toaster. And this morning I did look at my phone and I found the first time that I said Claudia, and it was in 2018. Mm-hmm. And I was texting my college group chat, as I did when I lived in New York, like talking about something hilarious that you said. And so I represent the every toaster, okay? The arc from toaster to friend to co-host. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Well, there is, me and Jackie have spoken about this, the toaster to influencer pipeline. Huge. Everyone who like blows up is a toaster. And sometimes they acknowledge it and sometimes they pretend like they unsend their DMs. That happens to me all the time. Like, no. They think they're too good.
Like, I love it. The first time I saw you, met you for real. I was so embarrassing. I showed you the photo that I forced you to take in a bar in New York in like 2019.
Obsessed. We have to post it. We're going to clip this and the photos right here. Enjoy. I literally die for you. You are one of my favorite people. I'm so excited. I know that the toasters probably already know you. We really do have very similar audiences.
We do.
But for those who don't know, you are queen of TikTok, podcaster, author, radio, fashion, literally all the things. You mean the world to me. Like, no, I love you.
I don't have words for how much I love you. Like, it's, you guys, just if you're listening out there, she's funnier in person, if that's even possible. And also so nice. Like, I thought you were nice before, but the way you treated me in Mexico, like when we met, and you were so kind to me, because for those who don't know, like we met in Mexico at this party and I knew like three people. Mm-hmm. And Claudia and Ben were so kind to me. I met them. I was like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with you guys. They let me third wheel the entire weekend and I just had the best time of my life. Like,
I'm obsessed? Ben was like,
no, I love Ben too.
We wake up in the morning in Mexico. He's like, you want to get breakfast? I'm like, yeah. He's like, should we tell Tim? Like,
I'm dead.
Ben was
stage
obsessed.
Five clinger. It was the best weekend of my life. And it just was easy. It's very easy. Yeah.
I went to that trip that we met on a million years ago for the first time. And I knew one person, literally one person. And I remember every person who was so kind to me and went out of their way to make me feel included. It meant so much to me. And they're people I'm still friends with. Our friend Stacy was one of those people who like knew me from Instagram, put me under her wing, and like really made the trip so much more fun. And so I was so excited to meet you. On my way there, I forget who it was. Someone was like, Tinks is coming. I'm like, the rich mom queen. I'm like, you're lying. So excited. You are, if you say I'm even funnier in person, you are even cooler in person. You radiate, like, I think that I radiate that energy, and we all know I don't. Yeah. You are effortlessly cool. Like, even your outfit, like, where the fuck did you get that? Like, all of it. Like,
no.
You're so cool. I just die for you. I love you so much, and I'm so excited to have you on The Toast.
I'm so excited. This is surreal. My college group chat is going wild right now.
Let me tell you, your college group chat was onto something when they became friends with you at college, because let me tell you, there is no one more fun to get liquored up with. And just, there's two different, I feel like we've actually had a couple of nights and they either go one of two ways.
Yeah.
Last night, which is just like a low-key cocktail.
Chilling.
And just gossip, like sort
gossip.
Of vomiting, you know.
Tea.
We live on different coasts.
Yeah,
we don't talk every single day, so we kind of have a lot to catch
up
on. Or it's like a shot ripping, cigarette chain smoking kind of night.
100%.
Love them both equally.
Love them both equally. You're so fun to drink with
because
we're the same. Like when we go. And it's really hard to find, I feel like, girls, especially as we get into our 30s, who are like, they're still willing to go. And I'm, like we talked about last night, we don't miss a party. If there's a good party, you have to go. That's the rule
of life.
If it's a good party, you have to know.
What, you're like kind of a professional party girl. What is your advice on gauging? Like what, I think a lot of us struggle. Like, should I get dressed and go to this?
So
we struggle with like being, you know, FOMO, or we're there and we wish we didn't even go.
100%. For example, I had really bad stagecoach FOMO. I had crippling stagecoach FOMO. I have my FOMO pretty under control. I feel like my gauge is pretty good now, just because I am a, you know, seasoned party girl. I know, I can kind of tell, depends what city I'm in, depends who else is going. Stagecoach, I had really bad FOMO. Next year we're going together.
So did I.
It's gonna be so good next year though.
Especially like through the lens of Margot, who I am so happy that you got to meet, because Margot's like my ride or die party girl.
I'm obsessed with Margot.
Margot's obsessed with you.
And also Margot's fits at Stagecoach went off.
It really, like, it upset me to watch.
I mean, she was living her best life for all of us. I was just like, you're doing it, queen.
100%. And so when last night we are going to Stagecoach.
No, we're going. I'm organizing it. We're going.
Also, last night you said something that I got home and I was like telling Ben about, and I think it was so profound. Honestly, Ben like didn't get it. I was like trying to explain it to him and he didn't like get it, and I was like, you're not understanding. It's like a girly thing. The reason why I love you is because you're older than me. I'm sorry. Like no, everyone I meet is younger than me, and it makes me really upset. I'm 29 in this space.
Yes.
And it's seriously, it's upsetting to be 29 in this space.
1,000%. It is. And that's why I talk about it so much, because when I became an influencer at age 29. I'm 33 now, and I realized that I had a choice. I could either like be one of those girls who like don't say their age in public and whatever. And I actually, when I moved to LA, I met a few girls who lied about their age, and I was so shook because I was like, that's so silly.
It's crazy.
And I was like, or I could just talk about it and like really try to change this. Mm-hmm. Because I think that for me, when I see someone older than me doing something, it like validates it completely for me. It makes me feel so much better.
You to me.
And I didn't feel like I had an influencer when I was in my late 20s. Like I was single. I didn't have anyone in their 30s who was single, but having fun. But wanted to find love, but was like also happy and grateful for her life. So I was like, okay, let me just be that and talk about that. Mm-hmm. So the girls no longer fear turning 30. And we talked about that last night, and it's so like, it's the best.
I am turning 30, and I feel like this is like a place I can like really say that. I couldn't say it with Brooke Schofield yesterday. She was like too cool and
young
for me.
She's 23, yeah.
No, I'm so upset.
Whatever, she's so young.
So yes, I am turning 30.
It's fine. And it's honestly, as soon as it happens, I what Ashley was saying last night too, it's like, 29, like once you get to 30, you're just like it's a relief.
And so you gave me great advice, and I said to Ben, and Ben was like, you do this anyway. So Tinks was like, honestly, I bought myself at 30 a tennis necklace. Is that the necklace
I
you're
wore
wearing
it today so that I could show you. Thank to you. Encourage you to
I
do
love it.
It and it was all really happening for me at that time. I had just started to make money as an influencer, and I had been previously so nervous to turn 30. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to really change the narrative. I'm going to buy myself a really great present so that I can always look back and think how proud I was of myself at this moment. Mm-hmm. And it was a big moment. I think it's just like a big age for a woman.
It is.
I think it's just so different for men. I think women have a much more complicated relationship with aging.
Biological. Like 30 is when the doctors start telling you, like, get it together.
Oh, no, totally. Then you're like, they're like, oh, let me count your eggs. You're like, please don't.
No,
like,
no. And by the way, I've gotten to a place now where like talking about like egg freezing, which is amazing. Like people like bring it up to me. I'm like, well, that's like a choice. Why don't you shut the fuck up?
No,
like,
no, I
like,
know.
Would you ever choose? I'm like, would you ever shut the fuck up?
I chose to talk about it on my pod because I chose not to freeze my eggs because it just was not the right choice for me. If you want to go listen to the episode about why, just decided not to. But like it is a lot, and everybody loves to talk about it all the time. And when you get to this age, you know, you get in a group of girls, you haven't seen your friends for a while, you get, it's like, it's all egg freezing this, egg, da, 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 and it's just like, it's overwhelming. Whatever path you're taking, whatever your goals are in life, it is overwhelming.
1,000%. Even if like, you look at someone who has done it more traditionally, like at 30, they have the two kids.
Yeah.
They have their own shit too.
They have their own, exactly. Everybody's going through much, so, I mean, women are going through so much. Like we just have this more complicated relationship with life in general, I think, which is why I think it's important to buy yourself a really good birthday present.
So I told Ben, I'm like, Tinks made me feel so much better. Like I'm gonna buy myself something. And he was like, you literally deny yourself nothing. You bought a Kelly the other day. Like you are fine. He's like, what would you even get? I'm like, well, Tinks got a tennis necklace.
No, you need a tennis necklace.
Like, I'm getting it.
Yeah.
I don't have one.
You need it. You need
I'm
it.
I'm getting one. Thank you so much for making me feel better about it.
Of course.
I could literally podcast with you for an eternity.
Well, that's good because we have one this afternoon.
Yes, I'm going on Tinks' show later today, which I'm so excited about. So on the very off chance that someone's not familiar, you currently host a show on SiriusXM.
Yes,
I
have a radio
show.
I wrote a book.
It's me, Tinks. Oh, no, The Shift.
The Shift.
People loved it.
It was really, that was the thing that I'm most proud of and that I felt like my most myself doing. I really loved it.
But you got your start on TikTok.
Got my start on TikTok.
Can you give me like your brief elevator
shtick? Yeah, it was 2020. I had just moved to LA. I was not really working. I was consulting, which is LA code for you don't have a job.
Unemployed.
And I was getting a lot of matcha lattes by myself. And then the pandemic hit and my family lives in London. So I was going to have to move home because I was like, I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. Like I'm so stressed out. We're all going to die. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm a really dramatic, anxious person, so I genuinely thought that it was the end of the world.
Yeah.
So I was like, I no longer fear judgment. I might as well just download this app called TikTok
fuck
and
it.
Like just fuck it and like make these videos. And I had nothing to do. When I say I had like three friends and they wouldn't see me because quarantine,
right.
And like my family wasn't there and I lived in a studio apartment, like I had nothing to do. So I just TikToked. And right away, I was like, wow, I find this really fun and fulfilling. And I love it. And it's funny. And I'm getting a little traction. So I'll just keep going. And it was just like right place, right time. Because in that time, everyone was on their phones for 19 hours a day. And TikTok was really... It was a different TikTok back then.
More fun.
I was more fond of it then. I just felt like it was more funny and lighthearted and more about like comedy and skits and like being silly. Mm-hmm. And also I was in a different place. Yep. And like misery loves company. And I was like talking the whole time about how I was like, I was drunk all the time like, by myself. I was remembering that I used to like get blackout on live.
Okay, by the way, I used to do that too. And I seriously, I have such a pit for myself. Like no. I don't even know what could come out of my mouth. I have like a specific memory of being completely blacked out in Houston after a show, going through the Whataburger drive-thru on Instagram Live with Brian Kelly. Like, seriously, the fact that I didn't hurl in the back of the car, like, I have chills for how dumb I was.
No,
that's like
truly.
There's so many advantages to growing up on the internet, but one of the major disadvantages, and I have experienced this and I know you have too, is like that shit coming back to bite you in the ass.
1,000%. It all does. And when you're new on the internet, you think you'll do anything for like a laugh.
Attention.
And so it was crazy. And I was like, honestly, kind of exploiting my personal life at that time too. Mm. I was like, because everybody likes to talk about dating, and so do I, but it gets so messy so fast. So I was like talking about how I was in love with my best friend and like dating this other guy, and like that's really brutal for the guy I was dating. So that was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
But at the end of the day, it got you here, and I feel like you're in such a good place 100%. Now. And your career, like you're killing it. You're just, the girlies love you. They would seriously lay their life out on the lines for you, and I get it. Like I would too.
No.
And you're just killing it, and I love to see it, especially to see someone who went through an experience of backlash, which I obviously, it's all I fucking talk about. My Roman Empire is getting canceled. And as they say, likability is a prison. You were sort of at the top of your game, like
brand deal,
Chipotle.
No. It was the weekend after Coachella. I had just come back. I had taken, you know, 12 of my friends to Coachella, organized everything, gotten everyone art. You know, I was just like
balling.
I was balling. I was literally just everything was good in my life. And I got back and like
destruction,
like the worst time of my life. And like you were also so nice to me. You've given me more helpful advice about that than anyone else. And
that's
it's just
literally
like,
my skill in life.
It was the worst time in my life.
But let me ask you a question. I'm more far out from mine than you are. I look back on that time now with immense gratitude. Like, I think I'm at the top of my game right now. Like, I think I'm killing it. I would not be here. I don't know where the fuck I would be. I might even not be influencing at the time. Right. I wasn't even that big when it happened. Like, it kind of made me a star. So I look back on that time, lessons learned. You have to, it's almost like a baptism by fire. I don't give a fuck now because I went through it. Are you at the place now where you look back on all that, you know, hate you received, and you can look at it through rose-colored lenses now? A lot of people can't.
I don't know. I'm a really sensitive person. I think, like, I understand everything that happened, and I get why it happened, like, intellectually. I think, you know, it makes sense. I was at the top of my game, and then it was like, you know, people hate that. And
likability is a
prison. Why not go through 20,000 tweets to find four from, you know, 10 years ago?
Right.
But I don't know. I'm really sensitive, and it still makes me sad sometimes.
Of
like
course.
How it went down. And I think being misunderstood is a frustrating experience.
Oh my God.
And I don't know. Just to be honest.
No, being misunderstood, that's how I felt for so long, and it was so frustrating. And we get into this game. Everyone gets into influencing and content creating in their own way, but at the end of the day, we get into it because we want to be liked.
Totally.
And we want to be popular.
We're all people pleasers.
Yes.
That's the thing about us. Like, of course, we're all people pleasers. Like, we're like the court jesters. Like, we do anything for a laugh.
Dance
like,
monkey.
And so, like, that's another angle of it where it's like, to think that we would be here for anything other than to, like,
joy
and make people laugh is so, like, painful.
Yeah, no, and so when your goal is to like become universally liked and then you end up being hated, like that's earth shattering for someone who cares.
For someone who cares. And I care so much. Like
normalize caring.
Like I can't believe when people are like, oh, I don't care about this and that. I'm like, I care so much.
You know who doesn't care?
Who?
Jackie.
Why am I obsessed with her? Obviously.
Yeah, no, she's more elevated than us.
She's like, so much more elevated than us. She doesn't give a shit. And I'm just like, that's why I'm like mesmerized by everything Jackie says, because she says it with this air of not caring. And it's the most attractive quality I think a human can have.
She says it with her whole fucking chest.
With her whole fucking chest. And I like still second guess myself. And I'm like, oh my God. But it's like, it's from a good place. Or at least I think it is. Maybe it's from like a narcissistic place. I don't know. But like, I care a lot.
And I think it's totally fine. But I also think it's important to get out of your own head once in a while.
1,000%.
Me as an outsider, like, I want to tell you, like, I watch one of your stories are the first. You come up before my family. Like, I'm obsessed. You, from an outsider's perspective, you seem so successful, so sure of yourself.
Thank you.
So, you know, self-aware in a good way. And it's important. Yeah, like being critical of yourself is like just a part of the job, but it's important to know how other people see you. And I'm like a normal, level-headed person, and I think you're just killing it.
Thank you. That's so nice.
And I'm so honored that you came here, and your timing couldn't be better because we haven't done a lot of Met Gala this week because of co-hosts. And I want to talk a little bit about the fashion, and you're such a fashion girly, and mostly I want you to explain the theme to me because I literally don't get it. And now people are like, it's not a theme, it's the dress code, and I don't fucking get it.
I know. I think, you know what? It wasn't my favorite theme. My favorite theme was Heavenly Bodies.
Like, I agree.
That slayed because I love room to be like a little slutty and naughty. And it, but it was like it was just the right amount of confusing. This was, I don't know. I feel like people took it so literally. I feel
was it
like
garden or was it time?
It was exactly. I feel like people were like, okay, flowers. They were like florals for the Met, groundbreaking.
Florals
like,
for spring.
I don't know. It just, it was good. Felt like we were missing a few A-listers.
That's what you and I were saying last night. Where were the girlies?
Where's Beyonce?
Where's Beyonce? Where's Rihanna? Of course, where in the world is Taylor Swift?
Yeah, I don't think we'll... I know you spoke about this briefly, but like, I don't think we'll see. Because,
in our lifetime.
It's four of the Kardashians. And it's like, if it's an event where it's like, okay, one of them, yeah, you can, they can organize it so they don't see each other. Four of them popping around there. And it's like their time. It's
That's
their
the thing.
Day.
It's, they have made it, and good for them because they started at a place where Kim wasn't even welcome. And now it's literally their like bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
It's the Kardashians event. They run, and they're, it's like their social circle too. Lala's at the top of they've got the event on lock. And you know what? It's, when Kim went to the Super Bowl, it was Taylor's of Super Bowl.
100%.
And it's Kim's Met Gala. And the thing is, it's the Montagues and the Capulets.
It like, literally is.
And then never the twain shall meet. You know?
Fair, fair.
So, Tinks, having said that, I have a question for you. Are you ready for the Fast Five stories that you need to know?
I've never been more ready in my life.
Today's episode of The Toast is brought to you by Skims. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. We've always had problems, whether it was the fit or the quality or just like not looking good. And luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims as a shock to nobody. They are killing the shapewear game, and now they are killing the clothing game. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. Skims has just become one of those brands where if I need something and they sell it, I'm going to get it from Skims. Like, I feel like once it has a Skims stamp of approval, the fabric is so good, the fit is so good. I just love it, and they're super size inclusive. The cotton jersey t-shirt is what I have. It's become one of my wardrobe staples. I reach for it pretty much every day. I've washed it a million times. It wears really well. Cannot stop wearing it. The boyfriend t-shirt is another favorite of ours, but really that cotton jersey long sleeve tee I love. Of course, you guys know we're obsessed with the bras, the underwear, shapewear from Skims. And I really love their clothing. It's super elevated. It's very on trend right now. And they come in so many different colors too. And I feel like beige is so general, and based on your skin tone, I love that they have like four different types of beiges, four different types of browns, four different types of blacks. It's really perfect for anyone, no matter your skin tone. And also, like, do you have a spray tan? You might need a new shirt. You can shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Another huge factor why so many people love Skims, myself included, is that they're super size inclusive. So they go from sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey, select our show, The Toast, in the drop-down menu that follows. Again, that's skims.com, S-K-I-M-S, the t-shirt shop. Is shoppable at skims.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Rewards. Listen up if you rent. Do you ever feel like you're stuck in this loop of rent payments, just watching your money vanish into thin air? It's time to turn that rent game around and start earning some serious rewards, and that's where Built Rewards comes in. Built is breaking ground as the first rewards program that hooks you up with points on your rent. That's probably everyone's biggest spend per month, and it's so annoying that you don't get points for it. Now you do with Built. Even if you're still rocking old school rent checks, Built Rewards has got your back. They will mail a check for you. It's basically like having a personal rent paying assistant, and then you get points for it, and you can redeem your points on the most amazing thing. So every month, pay your rent, watch the Built points roll in, and then you can use those points to jet off on a vacation, a flight, or a hotel. They have over 500 airline partners and over 700,000 hotel properties. You can use your points to sweat it out too. You can redeem your points at a fitness studio class, and you can also use your points towards a future rent payment or a future down payment on a home. It's really major. Paying rent is hassle-free through their app. Your rent game just got a major upgrade, and their points have been consistently ranked the highest value point currency by The Points Guy and Bankrate. Brian Kelly, obviously, huge, huge personality here at The Toast. And we're earning points by paying rent right now when you go to joinbuilt.com/toast. Built is spelled B-I-L-T. So the link is joinbuilt.com/toast. I've personally been a Built Rewards member for many, many years. I have booked a million flights, a million hotels through their app with their points. Rent is the most annoying thing on the planet. And the fact that you haven't, up until this point, been able to get points is frustrating. But thanks to Built, we've got you covered. Today's episode is also brought to you by GNC. One of the biggest reasons people stop taking GLP-1 is the gastrointestinal side effects. You know, nausea, vomiting are some of the most common side effects, usually coming on at the first dose of medication. With GNC, they are out here helping people like myself post GLP-1. So as you guys know, I was on GLP-1 medications for a year. I've been off of it for 5 or 6 months, and I'm really doing my best to stay well, stay fit, stay healthy, keep the weight off. And shopping at GNC has been a huge help in that, because I talk all the time about how I'm always looking for things to help me stay full, stay focused throughout the day. Because when I get to a point of like deep hunger, I'm sorry, I can't make good choices. There's no coming back for me. And with GNC, I have so many great products. I love, they make a brand of Total Lean Shakes. So the GNC Total Lean Shakes, they have 25 grams of protein. I usually start my days with one. Sometimes you'll see me drinking it on the toast. I love, love, love their shakes. They have so many good flavors. I really like the cookies and cream. If you're looking for an overall gut and immune boost, you want a high quality probiotic. You can get that from GNC. I also got great protein bars from GNC. You can find the high quality gut health supplements you need at GNC. Plus, you can get 25% off hunger satisfying snacks from GNC Total Lean when you use code TOAST25 at GNC.com/toast. The code is TOAST25 and the link is GNC.com/TOAST. I love that we've started working with GNC because I was shopping there anyways, like in my journey. My health journey, and now that they work with us, it's been so fabulous. Cannot recommend those shakes enough, and just shopping there for any of your like supplement needs. Oh wait, one more thing I wanted to talk to you about. I wrote it all down.
No, talk about it.
You're like kind of second like secret life being a DJ.
Oh my gosh, I became a DJ.
Late in life DJ.
Yes, late in life DJ. It's truly it was Lucas and I were at Coachella
Lucas
last
is your
year.
Best friend.
He's my best friend. I have a hot, sexy, straight man best friend, which is like such a slay. I would.
It's such a slay. I had one too, and now he's gay. Like,
oh, well, Lucas. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's straight as can be. I have tested it, that theory. But anyway, we were watching Sophie Tucker in Coachella, and we were like, that looks so fun.
It does.
I wish I had a deeper story to say. I wish I could say like, oh, I've loved music from a young age. I have, but like more we were looking at Sophie Tucker and we thought, that looks so fun. What if we got paid to fly around the world and create parties for our friends? Let's do it. And a year later, we played 3 parties at Coachella.
And I have seen you DJ.
It was so
you
fun.
DJed at Lucy's in New York. Like you would. Like, oh, her first gig in New York. It's like a really cool club. It's not like some hole in the wall. You were amazing.
So
we had the best time. I was hungover seriously for like a month.
I was hungover for a month. It was so fun. I'm so glad you came. It was just so fun to look out and see all of my friends there. It's just fun. It's
yep.
not that deep. Like I'm not having a midlife crisis as everyone online is suggesting. Like I literally just like having fun. And I'm also a control freak. So if I can control the music, and I also love attention. So I'm like, obviously if you're up there, people
cute
are like
outfit.
Taking your, yeah, it's like amazing chance to rock like really cute outfits.
You looked so cute when I saw you.
Yeah.
I think when you explained it, it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's
and
fun.
Normalize like doing things that make you happy,
and also like just learning a new skill. Like, I mean, you just ran a 5K.
I did.
Oh my god!
Thank you for bringing it up again.
Like, you decided. We talked about this last night, but like, you decided you wanted to do it, and you did it. And there is actually no better feeling in the world than accomplishing something that you want to accomplish, like a 5K, like learning to DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good for us, I think, as adults to do that stuff, because
yep.
we just get stuck in our routines and we're like, okay, I'll do what I'm good at. But it's good to push yourself.
I completely agree. Like, it's all fun, I think, in your early 20s. But then, like, you really, and so many people are like shocked by the transformation I've made. And Jackie had a lot of influence on it because she's always evolving. And she's
yeah.
like always trying to be a better version of herself. And then really, like, it was like the first time I finished a book when I was like so anti-reading.
And
then I was like, holy shit, I just read
yeah.
a whole fucking book.
Yeah.
You couldn't have paid me $1 million in high school to read a book. And you just feel honestly better than other people.
Like, you do. And you feel so good about yourself. And it's like how you raise your confidence and your self-esteem. And also, when I look at other people like Jackie who are always evolving and like bettering themselves,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's so cool. And like, mm-hmm. that makes me like that person more. So then I should want to do it as well.
And I think like, if you get so stuck in your ways, like for me, I was like always afraid of change. One, because like when, especially online, when people get used to a certain type of content from you.
Oh my God.
And my content was very like, young girl, not taking care of her body, partying
right.
so much,
right.
not working out, not eating right, and just general rotting, which,
right.
is there's con and I was like, okay, well, that's what people have come to expect from me. And I was kind of afraid if I evolve. And I hate that. I hate when, you know, you get to a place in your influencing where you start making decisions in your personal life based on what people online will think. That's so
it's literally dangerous.
Every person I meet who's like young, Jackie always calls me like the influencer mentor. But I like, that's like probably the one piece of advice I like foist upon people. Like, I was just at Jake Shane's. I'm like, you better not. Brooke Schofield. I was like literally lecturing her because you get to a place.
Of course you do. Yeah, you do. And you're
it's
like,
so
oh,
easy to get there.
I don't want to change this. Or like, there's been things in my content where, there's been things in my content where I'm like, oh, like they want this side of me so much, but you're just different.
You're not there.
You're just not there anymore. Like that, it's the same thing that I was saying. Like I'm not like in my studio apartment anymore, like with right. no job, you know, making videos all day. I literally can't make that content anymore because I've changed.
And so that's like the influencer kind of cycle where yes. you get super popular for just being relatable. Yeah. But then that popularity kind of elevates you to a place where you're not relatable. You're making a lot of money. You're wearing different things. You're acting yeah. different things. You're taking big trips. And people come to resent that because you used to be just their friend.
And so what's your take on like who makes it through that? Like how do you push through and who doesn't?
Okay, so I feel like, yes, my life is super different now than when I started. I was super young. I was in college when I started. And now, obviously, I live a different life. But on the inside, I'm exactly the fucking same. Like, right. I am seriously like a tacky ass bitch. Like, yeah. all my clothes are from Amazon. Like, I feel like, yes, everything on the outside has changed, but on the inside, girl, like, I'm still, like, such a rat.
Yeah.
Like, actually, I'm slurping vodka from the floor. Like,
no, totally.
I have not elevated in a personal way on the inside. I have elevated on the outside.
That's true. And actually, that's kind of true for me, too. Like, I'm still a slob. Like, I'm still kind of a mess. Like, I still love to party. I'm just,
but you just
like,
have,
doing
like, a cold plunge
clothes.
In your backyard.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing it in better clothes. I yeah. love that. Yeah. Well, speaking of clothes, Met Gala. So, I want to do, like, a couple stories from the Met Gala, because obviously things are happening, and Cardi B is getting in trouble. So I don't know if you saw, she was interviewed about her dress and she didn't know the name of the designer, which is kind That's of like tough. A faux pas. But then like what she said made it a lot worse. So she was interviewed by Emma Chamberlain at the top of the carpet. She said, "You feel amazing. Who made this dress?" And then Cardi B said, "I feel amazing. It's this amazing designer. They're Asian and everything." So yeah. So not only like not knowing the designer is like really like a faux pas, I feel.
Cardi.
Just calling them like Asian when That's they're obviously probably so okay. much more than that. Like,
it's not okay.
And the thing is, this is like a cancelable offense, especially like within fashion. Cardi B, I feel, is like uncancelable.
She's completely uncancelable. I feel like she could say literally anything and she could just go on live and be like, so anyway, like right. I just like don't care. And everyone will be like, okay, well, it's Cardi.
And I love that.
I think she has really carved out a niche for herself of, I'm jealous of her, like, 1,000%. Uncancelability. Yep. Like, I think she should probably apologize and be like, this is the designer. They yeah. are amazing. I'm so honored that to have worn their dress.
Right. And for those who don't know, like, the way you get invited to the Met Gala is by a designer. Like, it's a whole partnership with celebrities and designers. So it's really, the night is more supposed to be about the designers than the celebrities.
It's supposed to be about, yeah, exactly.
So that makes this, like, 10 times
because
worse.
If you just raw dog a ticket, apparently it's $75,000.
Oh, yes. And so there are people there who aren't celebrities. There are people like patrons of the Met, right. big donors of the Met.
Can you imagine paying $75,000 for a ticket?
Yeah, like if money, like to a billionaire, $75,000 is like a $100 ticket for us.
That's,
like,
that's actually
so, yeah,
true.
I would spend $100 yeah. to go
if
like
you were
see.
A billionaire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So love that for them.
Yeah.
And I wonder like the tables are so, and Anna is known for her seating where it's like if you come with a date, she separates you from her date.
Right.
You have to like talk to other people, meet new people, which sounds seriously like a nightmare. I think I would actually have the worst time at the Met Gala. Like,
no, I think I would too because it's so high stress. And I get stressed anyway, even if like little old me does like a red carpet. I right. get like literally the worst anxiety because it's stressful. You don't know where to look. It's so humiliating when like you do it and you're not sure if they're taking a photo of you or like mm-hmm. they don't raise their camera for you. You know, whatever, whatever. So if, let's just say, hell froze over and we went to the Met Gala. Like,
which, by the way, like if they knew what was good for them.
Yeah, you never know. So I would be freaking out, and then you go inside and you're not even seated with your date and you're wearing some huge dress, you can't walk, you're like sweating so profusely. Like, I would definitely be sweating through whatever I was in.
100%.
And it would just be stressful, and I don't know, I just don't know what really goes down in there.
Well, so you and I were talking last night about how this Met Gala felt different for so many reasons. One, there really felt like a lack of A-listers. I don't know if it felt different for me because I'm always in New York and like the city's a buzz,
right?
And I'm in LA, it's a different time, I was running a 5K, I'm like, I don't fucking care about these people. Or if this one just felt like it lacked energy.
It just lacked, I think that's a really good way to put it. It lacked energy. It just, maybe it was because it was literally like Sleeping Beauty themed or right. whatever, but like it was literally, I was just kind of like, it just seemed a little bit like muted.
And then, you know, we had talked leading up to the event that a lot of controversy was that TikTok was a sponsor
right.
and how that would affect, and if there were TikTokers, and there actually like weren't a lot of TikTokers. I know. Where were Charli, Dixie, and Addison? Like,
I know. I'm shocked that they didn't go.
And where in the world was Brittany Xavier? I
thought that was a great call on your part. And I know you think Pookie should have been there. And I agree with you.
So Jackie was the one who said Pookie should have been there.
Okay, fine.
And Brittany Xavier actually DM'd me. She was like, that's literally the nicest thing anyone's ever said about me. No, I'm not going to the Met Gala. And I was fuck.
She's such a good fashion TikToker. I will say that, do you know who Wisdom K is? He's a TikToker. He's so fashion-y. And he went. It was his first Met Gala. And he slayed on the red carpet, wore this insane like custom outfit, and he's to me like fashion on TikTok, so I was very glad to see that they took him.
Good.
And he just did such a good job. His content is insane. He deserved to be there.
And I think a part of the partnership, and I have to, it's not proof, but Ariana Grande shared like 4 TikToks, which she never really does.
Okay, and do you think that was it?
I think it was a part of the TikTok sponsorship. TikTok had to get some sort of exclusive on their platform. So Ariana Grande, I think, was forced, honestly, and I think she probably wanted to too, but a part of her performance was that she had to post a 4-part series on her TikTok of the performance. We have never seen the inside of the Met Gala. There's literally that one video of Bleachella, Taylor Swift dancing with Tom Hiddleston, like, and that's the getaway car moment.
No, totally. And they didn't even do a bathroom selfie this year.
Right. But this was the first time we saw like truly like the tables.
And I know. I was like trying to look at who's sitting with who.
Same, but I kind of hated it. I was like, oh, it's literally just like, it looks like charity. It's like a charity.
It's just like a charity gala, like a normal one.
And I feel like a lot of people were worried that TikTok being the partner and like sort of exploiting might, you ruin the sanctity. And I kind of felt like it did. And I loved seeing Ariana's performance. Like, you will when you believe, her and Cynthia Erivo. Like, they are the Mariah and Whitney of our generation.
No, they
are. I was obsessed. I need a high definition, not some janky ass iPhone footage.
Well, that was the confusing part, is I was like, if you're going to do it, then do it. Film her like
with
get a good camera. Get a good camera and a microphone.
So I don't know. I kind of hated it.
Also, it's just so complicated with what's going on TikTok in the government.
Yeah.
The fact that Vogue is, or whatever, they're just like, yeah, we're doing it.
The partnership was before like all the drama, but it does feel like sort of an endorsement from Vogue.
Yeah.
Which I feel like that wasn't her goal, but she needs
the
money.
No, it's not, but like, hey.
Vogue like low-key has no money.
You would do it too for a check.
Of course. I loved when they did the YouTube one. The Derek Glassberg years, and he got Nikki tutorials. Loved.
Those were really good years.
I agree.
Those were really good years.
But now it's like the only companies that have that kind of money.
Literally, who else is that rich?
No, literally, it's Meta.
You know who could do it is like Amazon. Like, no, imagine, because
Paige DeSorbo at the Met Gala.
I would die.
No, you're right, by the way. And Amazon's really into fashion.
Because I feel like Lauren Sanchez would like love that.
She was there, by the way, and I'm surprised she hasn't sort of pushed Jeff to become the sponsor.
No, I'm telling you this. I bet that could happen.
But the thing is, I do feel like they have to draw a line somewhere. And like, Amazon is so fast fashion. It's like the opposite. No, I know, but like, those
I know,
are
but
the
TikTok
only
is like random, like misinformation.
No,
totally. Videos.
Like, no, it's so true. But honestly, I do feel like they have to draw the line at somewhere. That would seriously be like H&M sponsoring the
Met Gala. People wore H&M on the.
Well, yeah, H&M like now does high fashion, but yeah, like, you know what I mean. It would be like,
I could
like
see
Shein,
it.
Like Shein.
I could see it.
That would be so crazy.
I would love it. By the way, I have an Amazon storefront. Invite me.
By the way, same. I love an Amazon Live. Okay, so Cardi B is getting canceled, but Pamela Anderson, everyone's talking about.
She
is like having this sort of
Pamisance.
I love that. But everyone's talking about that she wore makeup.
Okay, I saw that. I know. And I was like, see, this is the thing. It's just, it's hard. But I feel for her because I changed my mind all the time.
Normalize it.
All the time. You changed my mind on something last night. I can't remember what it was. You just explained it to me.
You're
and
right.
I was like, no, I believe, I agree with you now.
That's also a thing about getting older, is being really open to changing your mind.
100%. And when you're younger, you're just so set in your own ways. And you're just like,
You think you're so right.
And now I'm like, oh, I learned new information. I'll change my mind. Whatever. So I feel for her because I've said stuff online and then I've completely changed my mind about it. And so, I mean, I don't blame her. I would want to wear makeup to the Met Gala too.
Of course. And this is like very Alicia Keys coded. Like, you get to a place where you 100%. Want to make a statement. Like, I'm not wearing makeup because seriously, the fact that I have to sit in glam for 6 hours and my husband rolls out of bed 30 minutes before is unfair. It's an unfair beauty standard. And like, they're trying to make a difference and make a change. But sometimes you just want to look nice and it's okay to put on lipstick.
100%.
But Alicia Keys, they made such a big deal of that whole thing.
I know.
And like, over the last couple of years, it's like she is wearing makeup. She's wearing like a light mascara, an eyebrow gel, and perhaps like a little foundation. It's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
But now people are like, well, you are wearing makeup. It's like, you can't even say it because they're going to hold your feet to the fire. So they're
you
like, I think I see
it.
A lip gloss.
And if she had just showed up with no makeup one day, they would have asked her a million questions. So she probably felt like she had to say.
Yeah.
It's like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You can't just ever just have a day where you're like, I don't feel like it.
What are your thoughts on like glam? I think a lot of people are like, I can live without it. Like, no, I love glam.
I remember the first time I got it and I was like, I am pretty.
Like hardcore professional makeup.
Yeah, it's actually so crazy. It's like, it makes you feel so good. It makes you have like a suit of armor.
Alter ego.
And that's why you can't compare yourself to people online. Like, you seriously can't, because it takes like hours of a professional artist like painting our faces. Mm-hmm. And that's why you look good in photos.
100%.
Like, but it's the best. I love it.
Wait, I can't believe we've talked this long without talking about Shannon Ford.
Oh my God, you brokered the influencer peace treaty of the century.
Well, because I was hanging out
and
with
by the way, I'm obsessed with her now.
I know.
That's the irony, is like, she comes up like first on my stories. I'm like, I'm obsessed with her life.
I know.
I'm obsessed with her clothes. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm obsessed with her hair. She's just like, she has such good stories.
And so I was hanging out with you and she was DMing me and the story sounded familiar. I feel like I remembered her telling me it like a year ago, but I have the worst memory. And she was like, wait, what's the tea? Like, did Tinks bring me up? And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I was like, what the hell's going on? And you guys like had beef. You had her blocked.
I know, but I, hand to God, don't remember why.
So people on the internet said it was box theory. Can you explain what that is?
Okay, box theory is my theory that when a guy meets a girl in a romantic setting, he puts her into one of three boxes. He either wants to date her, he wants to hook up with her, or he wants nothing to do with her.
Okay.
The last one, very easy, you should know.
Yeah, and if you don't, like, seriously, work on that.
Yeah, work on that. Like, where people get confused is between dating and hooking up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't move from box to box. So...
Oh, so like, once you're in a box, you're in a box.
Yeah. And so it's like... You know what, a good example would be a good example is like in Sex and the City, like I believe Carrie was never in Big State box. Like, she was always in the hookup box, but she like strung out and like hung on to him for 10 years and like
life,
whatever.
Yeah.
But Carrie was always in Aiden State box. Like, he wanted to, like, even after she cheated on him, he was like, I'm still down to date you.
So true.
So people just get confused about that. But anyway, I literally don't remember what it was. So I'm quick to block, by the way. And I'm very open about
very
that.
Very Jax Taylor of you.
I am. I just like, you know what? So I don't remember. But anyway, I love her the most.
And so I was like, you two, like, you hated her, she hated you, but like for such a dumb fake reason, you guys had never met. And I just said, I said to both of you individually, I'm like, I need you to trust me.
Yeah.
I said, Shannon, Tinks is a girl. Like, she's a girly girl. Like, we could have a night with her. Like, trust me when I say, like, this is your type of bitch. And I said, Tinks, the exact same thing. And I said to both of you, are you just willing to completely drop it? Like, we don't need to work it out. We don't need to apologize. Just like, forget about it.
Yeah.
You both said yes. We had dinner in New York. And was I right?
No, you were beyond right. And I'm just so grateful because I love her so much. And you have really good instincts. Like, you know.
Yes. And I feel
you
like...
You said with other people I have beef with. Exactly. Like,
other people you have beef with, I've actually been like, you know what? I happen to know them. And I don't think... Not everyone's going to be friends. And that's totally fine. So I wasn't going to, you know, die on that hill.
No. But it's good. And it's important to trust your friends. And also, that's another good thing about getting older is sometimes you're like, Ed, just drop it. Like,
it's true.
It's better to be happy than right. You know, I like that mindset. Like, I don't care. Like,
I feel like you have so many like mantras.
I'm a big mantra girly.
What's like your mantra of the moment right now? I need a mantra.
Oh my gosh. I mean, my go-to one is always comparison is the thief of joy.
I love that.
It's just really good because it's like,
I love
anytime
that.
You're comparing yourself, and I have to remind myself of it all the time, like especially with career stuff. I'm like, if you compare yourself to other people, it will literally rob you of your joy. You're not like doing analysis, you're not getting ideas, you're literally just comparing yourself, and it will rob you of your joy. And that's the same with like looking at how people look online, or like, you know, being jealous of someone's looks, weight, all that shit. It will rob you of your joy.
I love that.
That's my main one.
I love
it. I have a list. I'll send them to you.
I need really mantras.
Good. Yeah.
We love because, a mantra. I don't have any. That's like so not my thing. And if I did, someone told me a mantra, I would forget it. Like,
no, and I love that other one. It's better to be happy than right.
That's a good one.
Where it's just like, let it go.
Jackie's like always saying stuff like bloom where you're planted.
I loved Jackie has a lot of good mantras.
I know, she's so smart. I'm trying to remember like what other one she taught me, but bloom where you're planted.
Another
I really
one
loved.
I like is the grass is greener where you water it.
Love that.
Which is really good as well, because it's all just like, just
work on
like,
yourself.
Work on yourself, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next story. Are you ready? Oh, you're a big Bravo girly, right?
Huge.
So have you been following like a lot of the allegations about Andy? Like, he has a lawsuit. Brandi Glanville.
I saw that an article came out. Yeah.
So he's talking about it. He did a big story and photo shoot with Hollywood Reporter. Okay. I love the photos. And the Bravo exec made it clear that he has no regrets about the way he has handled things over the years. He is facing sexual harassment accusations from former Real Housewives. Here's what he said. I think most people involved with these shows have been very grateful for the platform, but there will always be a few complaints. He went on to say, obviously, it's been no fun to be a target. He's called the recent claims about his behavior hurtful. The 55-year-old wouldn't talk about the specific lawsuits for legal reasons, but he went on to explain how he maintains a positive mindset during the litigation. He said, I think everything that happens in your life informs the next thing that happens in your life, and that's the way I look at it. I know that I know what the truth is, and I know how I've conducted myself, and I walk tall every day on that. Kind of love that.
I love Andy Cohen. I love Bravo. I think what he's created is...
unreal.
It's truly... Like, I don't think that you were just saying this about something on the toast. You were like, you don't realize how big something is until it's like over or whatever. And it's like when we step back in, I don't know, 20 years and look at the empire that he created, look at all the effect he had on pop culture and reality TV. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think we understand the magnitude of it.
No, and like, now reality is such a thing. Netflix does and there are huge shows on other platforms.
It was Bravo.
Like, it's the Bravo influence.
It's the Bravo influence. It's an entire universe. There's BravoCon. There's Bravo Celebrities. Like, it is.
Have you been to BravoCon?
No, I'm dying to go.
It's the craziest thing on the planet. And like, actually, if you're a diehard Bravo fan, it is so worth the money because his tickets are expensive. But like the way like they're everyone's just walking around. It's not like
I'm sure it's insane.
It's not like everyone's backstage. They are just walking around.
I want to go.
It's literally like so fun.
I'm dying to go.
And I kind of love how he's handled this. I think a lot of us are like watching and waiting, being like, is this going to be the end of Andy? But to be honest, if you actually had something to hide, you wouldn't do, first of all, like a sit down interview addressing
it. I agree with you.
So this always, that's how I felt about Sacha Baron Cohen and Rebel Wilson. Like,
right.
He came out fucking swinging. He was like not taking these allegations lightly. And I feel like when people just sort of huddle and go away, it's like, oh, you're guilty.
Right, exactly.
And so like coming back punching, and then like with Rebel Wilson in the UK, her book actually had to have pages redacted.
Right.
I'm like, oh, maybe like she was lying. Like,
right.
Or maybe her truth isn't the truth. That happens
totally.
A lot.
There's always three sides to it.
Yeah.
And I think that when you deal with so many people in who have huge personalities egos. And egos who you've decided their fate, quote unquote, if they're on TV or not on TV.
Yeah.
I
you're going to be a target regardless.
Yeah. Like it's going to be there's, you know. But I like how he's handling it, too.
Me, too. And he talks about it a lot in his books, especially like the early ones when he was really involved in casting. I feel like he's not so much anymore. How like the husbands would call when he would fire a housewife because like these families, like the men quit their jobs. They started managing the wives. And it was like a year or two before they got, and they would literally call Andy like begging, screaming, crying, throwing up. And it was kind of like heartbreaking. So there's a lot riding on a housewife, and I think when they become successful and then that gets like pulled out from underneath them, the whole family is affected.
Is affected, totally. And it's you, like, you get a taste of fame, you have this good life, you're connected, and then it just all comes crumbling down. But it's like, it's not just him.
No.
And I feel like he's probably in a really difficult and unfair position because
he's
everybody thinks that it's like literally him going yes, no, yes, no. But it's not. It's like hundreds of people who are deciding this and like high up, whatever.
As a woman who supports other women, what is your take on like the argument that like Housewives has been so bad for women? Like, I feel like Gloria Steinem went on like some sort of soapbox and a lot of people, it's just like, you know, women fighting and looking stupid online. Like, what is your take on that? Because I vehemently disagree with it.
I vehemently disagree. And I actually think that it has spread light on the lives of women after a certain age, mm-hmm. or after they get married. And this is, by the way, something that I've always been obsessed with. Even when I was a little girl, I used to look at women, I used to look at the moms, and I'd be like, which ones are happy and which ones are not? And I, like, you know, to our conversation before, I think women have a much more complicated relationship with aging and life,
yeah.
than men do. And I think that Real Housewives has really shown that.
Yeah.
And it's been informative and it's been a jumping off a discussion point, mm-hmm. for so many women out there going, okay, oh my gosh, like take even cheating, for example. If other women can see, oh, this beautiful, like, rich lady got cheated on.
Yep.
It's not my fault or,
yep.
whatever. It's just like, it's really been illuminating.
Yep.
And I think it's, I'm obsessed with it.
And you love to see like a 60-year-old famous woman.
100%.
You'd love to see Teresa Giudice at Coachella meeting Taylor Swift.
3,000%. By the way, I met her too. And
Taylor?
No.
Oh.
Teresa.
Oh my God, my heart. Did you guys see? My heart just fucking stopped.
I know.
Oh, by the way, what did you think?
She was so pretty and so nice.
She's very pretty.
We were like at John Summit and she
obsessed.
Was like she was like having the best time, like making out with her husband, like
obsessed.
Looked so pretty and was like, hi. And I was like, oh, wow.
You guys can add this to the list of Claudia's favorite stories. But I think one of my favorite things to cite is like a million years ago, Melissa came on the toast and she was like, you guys don't understand. Like before Housewives, like I was an actual housewife. I just woke up every day, like made,
yeah.
the kids lunch, drove them to school, like didn't have a job, waited for my husband to come home, made dinner. And this like completely liberated me. I'm a businesswoman now. Like, yes, now I have, you know, my kids are older, but I'm also not responsible like 9 to 5 for their every.
Totally.
And the way she put it, it was like, oh my God, yeah. Like, this is a job for them. And a lot of these women who have been married for a long time and have settled into the role of housewife, which is a completely valid way of life, but they sometimes want more. Like, the way she explained it, like, gave me chills. I was like, yes.
No. And
she's like, I'm out every night.
I love her, by the way. She's so
love.
Nice. And I think it's also really important for women to see that you can have different chapters. And exactly as you said, just because you decided you wanted to stop working when you had your kids, that doesn't mean that you can't pick up a new project mm-hmm. when your kids are off to college or you, whatever. You just wake up one day and you decide you want something new. Mm-hmm. Like, and this show has shown that you don't have to just give up and just yep. like fade into the darkness. And I love it. And that's why like New York, like OGs will always be my favorite Same. Franchise because I just relate to the women the most. And I also just think like, to see these women and everything that they've gone through, like women just go through shit, man.
No, it's so true. When you sit back and think of like Sonya Morgan's life,
like
Luann,
Ramona, like just like all of the shit that they've been through, but yet they keep showing up and like it's they true. Do show up for each other. And I'm sorry, like I literally will defend Housewives forever.
No, same. Let me ask you a question. And I feel like this is just like kind of a litmus test, like if we're gonna be best friends forever. Back in the day, when it was like Bethany v. Jill, whose team were you on?
I'm scared to say. Were you Jill?
I'm not going to say until you say.
This is not a cop-out answer. I was just like so sad because I truly didn't get what the fight was about.
Nobody did.
And like when I think about Bethany and Jill, I think about them in like season two or three getting it, both being in Jill's bed in the Hamptons.
Yep.
And I think about like that being, I'm like, that's girlhood.
Goals for friendship.
And, yeah. And I was just like, they were such good friends. And even when they did the Bethany's pod recently, mm-hmm. I was like, you guys, like, I still don't even get what the fight is about. It's the dumbest shit ever.
I will say, at the time, I was so ride or die for Jill. Like, yeah. I just saw myself in Jill. Honestly, yeah. she was, like, yeah. this New York Jewish girl. During COVID, I rewatched it. And it wasn't as black and white. Like, honestly. And then I became so obsessed with Bethany in the Carol years.
I can't believe that she broke up with.
I know.
I'm dead by that.
Why? Like,
I don't know.
That was so crazy.
I don't know. I honestly love both of them. Like, that's truly not a cop-out. And I like wish I hoped and wished that after they did Bethany's pod, they would like rekindle and be friends.
I do feel like it's over, like it's never going to happen. And I think that's actually OK.
I know.
I think maybe they're in such different places now that if they were yeah. friends, like it wouldn't be as magical.
No, totally. But that like I basically only rewatch Housewives. Like yeah. I don't really watch new shows. I just rewatch old ones. And like that's my most comforting ones is when they were just like. And it's just like Jill was so comforting to her because she was like still single and she was going through it. And like. That just...
No, those were the days.
I
agree. Today's episode is also brought to you by Saks.com. Jackie and I have decided that we are saying yes to warm weather this year, and that means we are stepping up our wardrobes with the help of Saks.com, because everybody knows that Saks.com is the place to shop. Obviously, as a New Yorker, like, I know Saks, I invented Saks, I was raised at Saks, but their website, let me tell you, is so fabulous. And when it comes to online shopping, I will always choose Saks. One, they have so much inventory, like they have so many things to choose from, but sometimes shopping at a big store can feel overwhelming, and I feel like Saks totally gets it. Their edits, the way you can like go to tops, and it's not just like a million tops, they have such specific categories. Like if you have a wedding, you have a destination wedding, they have nailed it when it comes to like really finding what you're looking for. They also just have amazing brands, and I think a lot of my style and like the brands that I'm obsessed with, I discovered at Saks before they got super popular, like Danielle Guizio I love, Eero Paris I love, Staud I love, and all of the things that I own from those brands, I got at Saks like a few years ago. Whenever I have like a big trip coming up, I always do a big Saks.com order. I think with summer and spring upon us, it's really time for you to place those orders. You have a trip coming up, you have a wedding coming up, work stuff. Place the orders, then you can get excited about the trip. Saks.com is super fun and easy to shop on with brands that we love like Staud, Loewe, Favorite Daughter. They do a great job of finding up-and-coming designers. So with different curated shops like Spring Wedding Guest, It Girl Closet, Designer Shop, and Date Night, Saks.com makes it easy for you to find exactly what you're looking for. You can find anything from a cozy vibe to a more elevated look at Saks.com. So discover new ways to shop for everything every day at Saks.com. That's Saks.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Thrive Cosmetics, as are these eyelashes. Yeah, that's right. I love Thrive Cosmetics, and I especially love their makeup. So Thrive Cosmetics is a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. They have clean, skin-loving ingredients in their products, and their foolproof products make it easy for any skill level to apply. They have a lot of, I feel like, cult following products. For me, it's that mascara. I bought it off a Facebook ad like 10 years ago. It is the only mascara I wear. As you guys know, I get lash lifts because my lashes are so bad. They are so straight and short, and I just love the liquid lash extensions from, I brought it with me to LA. I wear it every single day. It's a tubing mascara. I had never tried a tubing mascara. It is the real deal. That's one of their products with a cult following. They have waterproof pencils that hold like a wax and blend like a powder. They have the highlighter eyeshadow combo that everyone loves. It's the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It makes your eye look effortless. They have 16 buildable shades for you to choose from and play with. And they also have really pretty metallic shades, which I really, really love. The Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner is another one of their cult following products. And then, of course, the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara that I love. I also love their lip balms. Their packaging is super cute. And it's Thrive Cosmetics, C-A-U-S-E. They partner with just amazing organizations and charities, so your money's going to a good place. You can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/toast. That's Thrive, CAUSEMETICS.com/toast for 10% off your first order. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics. It's luxury beauty that gives back. thrivecosmetics.com/toast. Okay, are you following Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef?
So I got back from my Miami trip and I did spend 4 hours trying to get to the bottom of it. It is very complex.
Okay, like I literally don't get it.
And the allegations are like really bad.
Heinous.
So I feel like stressed talking about it because I'm like, if any of them are at all true, there's like pedophilia, yeah, there's wife hitting.
Exactly.
A lot of bad stuff. So it's like everyone's like making all these jokey TikToks about it. And I'm like, but is this true? Because like this is so bad.
No, and it's literally been taken to a next level where someone was shot at Drake's home. His security guard was shot and he was really badly injured. He's still alive.
Thank God.
And now it's like not fun anymore. Like I don't want to make TikToks about it. Like seriously, grow up.
No.
What are you doing? This is like you're shooting each other?
That's insane. It's insane.
Insane. And Justin Sylvester had the best take because I was asking him before the show. He didn't say this on the show. I was like, are you following the beef? He's like, honestly, no. And like, I can't keep up. And he's like, honestly, like I so prefer to watch girls fighting.
Them
guys,
dead.
He's like, this doesn't do it for me. I'm like, actually, I completely agree. If this was two women, like the way I would know everything, and I would be making the TikToks and I'd be doing episodes about it. Like, seriously, grow up.
It's for the girls.
Yeah, like
it's for the girls.
Honestly, like, it's giving me the ick.
Yeah, like, it's giving me the ick. Like, please stop. And I hope everything is not true. I hope you're just like
no. And it's like they're slinging really low insults.
Really low.
And now someone's been shot. And so for me, like, I'm out.
I'm out. I agree. I think that's a good. Like, I think we leave it here.
Yeah. What? Like, I was already out with the pedophilia. And like, this is such a serious accusation and you're singing about it?
No, it's like, why are you singing about it? That's so serious.
And now,
and like making rhymes about like A minor. I was like, this is outrageous. Like,
no. And it's like, if you know something, like if you see something, say something. So you've been sitting on this information and instead of, oh, I don't know, calling the police, you're writing a song about it. Like, seriously, I'm out.
You're like, what rhymes with pedophilia? I'm right. Like, this is serious.
I'm out. But I'm so happy the security guard's okay.
Thank goodness.
And seriously, like, stop it.
Stop.
I'm not even contributing more to the story. And agreed. We're like so behind. I still have one more story. And this is perplexing me because it's not like the craziest, you know, career progression. Travis Kelce is being cast in some sort of project.
I saw that.
But it's Ryan Murphy's grotesquerie. So he's working on a Ryan Murphy project. Like him going into acting feels very natural. It's not a big deal. But I feel like, not to bring everything back to Taylor and Kim, but like, Ryan Murphy is very much like Kim's territory.
I know.
What does it mean?
I don't know what it means. I think he was always bound to go into acting. You know, he just can't wait to get his hands
on
that.
He's got such a big personality.
Totally.
And he's in this place, like, I'm so jealous of Universal. He's beloved.
He can do whatever he wants.
And he's going into acting, which obviously makes sense.
Why
and I'm shocked.
Why does everybody want to go into acting?
Like, I don't know. As a content creator, like, have there been... Do you get like random auditions for stuff?
I did a few auditions and it was like so humiliating. Okay, there was one. There was one we did where my entire team thought I was going to get it. It was like for some random, like, I think I was like Australian in it or something.
Oh, no.
It was so bad. If I ever want to like completely cringe myself out, I rewatch the tape. Like, couldn't be more embarrassing. Like, so awful. But anyway, famous last words. But literally everybody wants to be an actor. Like, even if you're at the top of your game in something else. They're all like Harry Styles wants to be an actor.
Yep.
Like,
it's Travis so Kelce, true.
You're literally
even Taylor
the best.
Swift. She was in that movie.
Literally, like, you're the best football player in the world. Like, why would you? I'm sure that I'm going to get that in trouble. Sorry, not
no,
the
he's
best.
No, he's the best tight end.
Best tight end. Most highest paid. I know that. I'm getting into sports. Why?
Like, I don't know. Like, I will
say. Do people think it's that fun?
And no, and like the. Like you said, like the self-taping and like the things you have to do, the auditions, like it's humiliating. I always tell this story, but like literally a million years ago when I first started influencing, I was like all about SVU, and there was a influencer role. And I didn't get it, but I seriously worked so hard on the audition. And it was in-person audition, which was one of the worst experiences of my life. So different that you think it's awkward filming yourself going into that. Oh my God. And seriously, the episode plays all the time. I know the monologue by heart. And like not getting it is seriously one of the most devastating things that's ever happened to me.
Yeah. No, it's tough. I would like to do it. Okay. See, I'm already changing my mind. Like, I would like to do a little cameo.
Yeah.
I would love to be cast in something where I played an influencer where they don't make me audition.
That always happens to me. Like, I keep getting, like, they're casting an influencer and they want a real influencer.
Yeah.
And I literally just did one the other day. I really want to get into, like, voiceover because obviously I'm a podcaster.
Yes.
And I actually booked, like, a huge Disney Plus show. It got canceled. Like, seriously. Oh. I went and I did all the work.
That's so upsetting.
I played a character, like, seriously, and the show got canceled. It never even made it onto the platform. I was so fucking upset, literally crying in the bathtub. And then the other day, I got another one. It was, like, an influencer in this sort of... And seriously, like, I kind of loved it. VO is so different than acting.
100%.
And I totally understand why people at the top of their game in acting get into voiceover work, because it's so much less physical work. You don't have to show your face. And it's so much money if you get in on one of those franchises.
I would love to do it. I would love to voice like a cartoon cat or something.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up.
I know. I knew we were going to have to talk about this eventually.
I actually forget about it because I try to like not think about it.
About me being a cat person?
Like, we are just so similar on so many things. Like,
I know. But like, honestly.
And I'm going to your house later and I meant to tell you.
They're going to be locked away. You won't see
I
them.
I will seriously start crying.
I know. Okay. Is it a fear?
Petrified.
Okay, they're gonna be locked away. You won't see them. But I do feel like some cat representation on the toast, like, is important. Like, no,
and
just
yesterday's
for today,
episode, I actually think like Brooke Schofield was offended at my reaction. I was just like shocked when she said she had a cat.
No. You're such a dog person. I'm such a cat person.
I'm not even such a dog person. I'm such an anti-cat person.
And that's what you are. Yeah. Exactly. Whereas like, there's the meme that's like, cat people are always like, yeah, I mean, I like dogs too. They're nice.
Yeah.
And then a dog person is like, one time a cat murdered my whole family, and it's like.
Cats no, but like, you're right. The Good Morning Meowlennials, which is what they call themselves, like, they never get like their shine.
Stop.
Yeah, Good Morning Meowlennials.
I feel like
that's you.
I'm that's me.
So please, I'll be quiet, and you maybe just like wax on about how being a cat mom is amazing, because I always drag on them. Like, it's not fair.
It's nice. We're low key. We need to do less work. It's very easy.
It's a lot less work.
Anyway, I would love to be a cartoon cat. I would love to do it, but like, it just is so confusing to me. Like, if you're the best in your game, why pivot to acting? Do you think that actors are the most respected of all the celebrities, like before singers?
No. Maybe.
Like, because I think singers.
Let me ask you a question. If you could be doing something else, because I always say, like, whenever I go on tour, like, I would seriously so much rather be going out for singing. Like, I just love to sing. My dream, if I could be anything in this world.
But you're a good singer.
Right. And my dream is to be a pop star. And like, if I had to do another career, like, I would seriously try and be a singer. Like, I would try and crack the music industry. What would you be doing?
If I wasn't doing this?
Yeah.
I would love to be a therapist.
Interesting.
I would love that. Yeah, I would
so
love
much,
to be a
But do you think you could like seriously keep your mouth shut? Because you love to gossip.
I know I love to gossip, but I would.
That attorney client privilege.
I know. I'm a Virgo. I'm a good secret keeper. I would love that. It would just make me feel so happy and I'd be so interested and I get so invested in like helping people and like their problem. Like, I love that. So I think that would be really cool.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Is that your dream job? Like,
it's not my dream job. I think my dream job would be to run like there's so many dream jobs, and I think I'll do different iterations of them. Like, not to trigger you, but I would love to do like a rescue center for cats. Like, I would love to run.
And it. I'll open one up right across the street. It's a rescue center for dogs.
Yeah, no, but like, by the way, dogs are welcome in mine. I know the same is not
cats
true.
Cats are not welcome in my facility. That's 100% true.
I would love to be like a sommelier and like learn about wine and food, or like, I don't know. There's a million jobs that I think I'm honestly like pretty adaptable, but yeah. I love my job. It's my favorite job I've ever had.
Same. And me and Jackie always say, like, when your current job is your dream job, like, how lucky are we?
We're very lucky. No, it's
although
nice.
I would love to run a summer camp one day.
Oh, that's so fun. Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you go to camp? No.
No, because I grew up in England, so.
And you don't have an accent.
No, I know. My parents are American.
Got it. And so, you growing up in London, camp is not a thing?
It's not a thing. We used to come to America in the summers, and we would live at my grandparents' house in Florida. So, like, I am a big Florida girl. I thought that was all of America. It was, like, in Naples, Florida.
Obsessed.
I was like, yeah, but so
honestly,
like,
what more do you need?
What more do you need? I would like bring back Abercrombie from like, obsessed. You know, and
he's
it was,
wearing yeah, Abercrombie.
Literally, it was funny. But so I did know about America when I was living there, but we didn't do camp.
Damn, I feel like you so would have been a camp girl
because I love
it's
like
girlhood at its essence.
A control. controlled environment. Like, I love a social structure. 110%. I would have loved it.
So many firsts happen for girls at camp. Like, first kiss, I put my first tampon in. Like, seriously,
And I love that shit.
And I think you would be, like, you're such a kind of, like, low-key, even though you're, like, very glam, like, I could see you, like, thriving in a bunk setting, like, doing the girls' eyeliners, flattening their hair. I kind of, like, wish you went to camp.
No, same. I would love it.
Because you want to know what it is? I just put it together. You kind of feel like my camp friend.
Thank you. Okay, yes. Someone we have old memories together.
And, like, I don't see you all the time, but when we do, it's, like, classic. The
best. Yeah.
Ugh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Honestly, maybe we'd bring back Camp Toast only if you would come.
I was going to say I would 1,000% come. I would love it.
Camp Toast was so fucking
fun.
And
I love, like, a trip. Like, I love... That's why I loved Mexico so much, is, like, I love the memories from it. Like, I always make a list of, like, the private... From every group trip that I do with my friends, we have a list of private jokes so that I remember them all. Like, I love that shit.
You're so good about, like, writing things down, I feel. Yesterday, I asked you something. You were like, I have them all written down.
I'm a very nostalgic person. Oh, demon night. Yeah, because I was saying that I had a demon night. You know, one of those nights where, like... Truly your soul leaves your body and you become
awful.
It's not like sloppy drunk. It's not like, oh, I'm tired. It's not beer tears. You become a demon.
Yeah, like you're still fully functioning. You're just an awful fucking person.
You're an awful, annoying, rude, awful, bad person. I had one on Sunday night, like the worst, so one of the worst demon nights that I've ever had. And I was saying that I wrote down my memories because I do know even when I'm at full demon activated, I know that I'm blacking out. So I write down my things.
That's
so I have
a
clues.
Big of you.
Yeah. I've always had this dream to do an art show of all of my blackout notes because I also have videos. I used to make videos in college and it was just like me being like, you hooked up with this person. And I would do an art show where it was like all of them. And if you stand in front of them, it would be me reading them. It would like.
I'm obsessed.
Isn't that good? Like, okay, galleries, hit me up.
Okay, Gallery Girls.
Did you ever watch Gallery Girls?
Of course I watched Gallery Girls.
Oh my God. One of the best shows ever.
And now all of those shows are on Peacock. So like NYC Prep, people are watching. Did you watch NYC Prep?
I burn, I pine, I perish. Like, I love NYC Prep. I actually just read an article about where are they now.
I know. It's kind of sad.
I know.
For that one girl.
But that was like. I was just obsessed with that show.
That was not real.
That was the best type of reality TV.
And being in high school in New York City while that show was on, I was like, this is not real. It's amazing.
No.
And like, I grew up in like a normal house. I'm like, how are these kids? Like, where are their parents? I was like, this is not real. Like, they definitely tried to emulate it like after Gossip Girl.
For sure.
Are you a Blair or a Serena?
I'm a Blair.
Okay, good.
I'm not annoying.
Yeah,
so.
Thank you.
I'm not a pick me with too much hair.
You are not. Do you ever watch EOC?
That's why I moved to America. I'm being so serious. Like, I watched The OC and I watched Laguna Beach a lot in high school. And I was like, I am living a very different life to these people. I want to go where they are.
Yeah.
I want to drive a convertible and go get froyo at the mall. Mm-hmm. Like, I want this so bad. I went to an all-girls school with a uniform and it was a British school.
Yeah, yeah. That's so not
it was,
the same.
It looked like a dungeon. Like, yeah. I wore a brown uniform. Like, just no boys. Like, no nothing. And I would come home. And I was, like, also pale as a ghost because I lived in England. And I would look at these girls and Kristen would be like, stay man, like, wearing her little choker. And I was like, I need to go to California and reinvent myself.
And there Tinks was born.
And there she was.
And last question for you. Did you watch Desperate Housewives? You've never seen it?
I never watched it.
Wait, by the way, like, that's amazing that's in your future.
I know. Okay, because I know you.
Oh my God.
I know.
You
I know.
Will fucking love
I
it.
I think I'll love it. I know. I don't know why I didn't watch it.
It's on Hulu.
Okay, perfect. Done. Beautiful.
I love that journey for you. And you could do like a million episodes about it. Like, I know you're in your Sex and the City rewatch era and you're doing a lot of podcasts on it, which Jackie and I were saying, we love that the young kids are watching Sex and the City because they didn't hold punches. It wasn't like, oh, you're feeling sad. Let me validate your feelings. Like, Sex and the City is very tough love energy. And 1,000%. The generation, Gen Z currently needs that.
They need that.
So I feel like you could do a lot with Desperate Housewives.
I'm done.
I mean, I could think you could write a whole book seriously on Tom and Lynette. Like, fuck Tom.
I'm excited.
I feel like podcasting with you was even better than I imagined.
No, I can't believe I was nervous. It feels like a dream. It
and
feels
now
like
we're going to do your
water.
Show.
We're all warmed up.
I can't wait. I'm going to Tinks' house. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to Tinks' house.
I'm going to try spritz.
You're going to try spritz. And I just can't wait to see like what the coolest girl on the planet, like where she lives.
My
you know?
House. I know. I'm scared.
I'm obsessed. You guys, make sure to follow Tinks on all social media platforms. I'm sure you already do. On Instagram, it's @metinks or just Tinks.
It's just Tinks on everything.
Oh my God. She's so cool. She has a nickname. Like,
I had
you know,
to suck a lot of dick at Instagram to get that.
No, and it's kidding. The coolest thing on the planet. Like, I, you know, I'm obsessed with nicknames. And I'm getting to a place where seriously, I'm going to change all my usernames to Turdy Lou.
I know. Should I? Would you?
I'm like, I'm not over girl with no
does
job.
No, I know, but that's so iconic.
I know, but it's like.
Does anyone have Turdy Lou?
I don't know.
You have
honestly,
to check.
Before I put up this episode, I am going to.
You need to check.
Yeah. Obsessed. So follow Tinks everywhere. Listen to her show on SiriusXM. You do how many episodes a week?
I do 3 shows a week.
And there's 2 live shows in that?
1 live show, 2 pre-recorded.
And you can call in, get advice from Big Sis Tinks. Mm-hmm. So the show is called It's Me Tinks.
Show is called It's Me Tinks.
And if you don't have SiriusXM, you can listen to it as a podcast.
Of course.
Thank you so much for being here.
I love you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the Toast and Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give us a thumbs up. We are also available as podcasts and our podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us a Toast and 5-star review. I love you, so stunning and wicked talented we are. Love ya. Bye.